invite you to join me in a word of prayer. Hallelujah, all I have is Christ. Jesus, you are the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. This morning we come together, bow before you and worship you. We give thanks for the grace that you have been given us and has been helping us in our daily walk with you. This morning we pray that our heart and our mind and our eyes will tune to you, toward you, toward your word, so that we can be edified, so that we can be encouraged, so that we can be correct. This morning we pray for ourselves that you will speak to each one of us because you know each one of us. You will stop for us. You will tender to our needs and take us by your hand. This morning we also remember those who might be involved in one of the joyful celebrations in their life, the graduations. We pray that you will prepare them, particularly your people. We pray for those who graduate from college this very day, that you will equip them, not only professionally, career-wise, but also spiritually, that they will become ambassadors for your good news, that they will become salt and light in the environment that you plant them into, and to glorify your name. We pray that you will continue to be with us and lead us deeper into worship you in your truth. In Christ's name we pray together. Amen. Could you remain stand as I read God's word to you? Today's God's word is coming from the Gospel of Mark chapter 10, verses 46 to 52. The Gospel of Mark chapter 10, verse 46 to 52. If you have your Bible, I encourage you to take it out. This is the reading of God's word. And they came to Jericho, and as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." And throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said to him, "Rabbi, let me recover my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Go your way, your faith has made you well." And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way. That was the reading of God's word. Please be seated. There was a professor in a class, a philosophy professor in the class. In this class, and also this professor also happened to be a believer. In this class, he took out a jar filled with jelly beans. The jar filled with jelly beans, different colors in there. So he put the jar on the lecture hall on the table. And as a student, pull out a piece of paper, each one of you, guess how many jelly beans in the jar. So the students start to write down without knowing what the professor was leading toward to. And after they wrote down what the guess number of how many jelly beans in the jar, he asked them, "Write down three of your favorite songs." So the student wrote down. Then the professor asked them a question. "If I ask you, what is faith to you? How do you define that? How do you define faith?" Not very surprisingly, the majority of the students would say that faith is like the second list on our paper, my favorite song. When we talk in our daily conversation, have faith, what do we really mean? Have faith. A lot of time, our notion about have faith is like, I believe in my ability, I believe in something that I prefer, I believe in some kind of things that I think it is right. Or in some other occasion, it's just, I don't know what is going to happen, but I think everything going to be all right. Sort of like an ostrich, boom, bury its head in the sand, saying that everything is fine, nothing happened. I think a lot of time when we say we believe or we have faith is one of those definitions. But this philosophy professor is saying that to some surprise, this is like the guessing number of how many beans in the jar. At the end of the day, no matter what number you put in, you have to check that number against the reality, the actual number of beans in the jar. So in other words, he's proposing the notion about faith is not very much to do with what you think, what you guess, what you prefer. But there is an objective reality there. This is the title of today's sermon. What is faith? Today's sermon, I need to put aside two things. If you are familiar with the Bible, you know that this account has some discrepancy. For example, let me read it to you. Matthew chapter 20, recording the very same account. In Matthew chapter 20, verse 29, and as they went out of Jericho as opposed to what we said, and they came to Jericho. Went out of Jericho, a great crowd followed him, and behold, there were two blind men sitting by the roadside. And when they heard that Jesus was passing by, they cried out, Lord, have mercy on us, Son of David. The crowd rebuked them, telling them to be silent. But they cried out all the more, Lord, have mercy on us, Son of David. And stopping, Jesus called them and said, what do you want me to do for you? They said to him, Lord, let our eyes be opened. And Jesus, in pity, touched their eyes, and immediately they recovered their sight and followed him. Two questions about these textual differences compared with Matthew chapter 20. Were they went out of Jericho, or just as Mark said, they came into Jericho? That's the first question. The second one is, one blind man or two blind men? I want to set aside these two so that you understand the reliability of the Bible. Archaeologists researched this, and they have some evidence came back. There were two Jericho, an old one and a new one. The old one were completely destroyed. And Herod, the king, rebuilt a new one, not far away from the old one, actually at the suburb of the old Jericho. So here, when Mark say, and they came to Jericho, he was talking about Jesus was entering the old and leaving the new, as in Matthew, saying that they're leaving Jericho. Leaving the new and entering in the old. The old is on the way to Jerusalem. That's the first one that we know the archaeologists gave us evidence to settle this dispute. Two blind men or one blind man? The difference is in Mark, there is a name. Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. In other words, Mark is focused on this one by mentioning his name. There were two blind men. But Mark chose to focus on this one. He had his purpose. So I hope that will help you to understand that a little bit. If you are familiar with the Bible, you might came with this question. So the texture, that text has a little bit difference, but because the author has a different perspective, particularly in Mark today. Now, I propose to you, there are two ways of reading today's text. If your notion about faith is about your inner strength, your sincere intention, your whatever that is, focus on yourself. You will read this text as when I start preparing the sermon, I fell into this trap. I look at it. The whole text is talking about faith. So I came up with this outline. True faith. And they came to Jericho, and as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside, and when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Then inevitably, I will come up with this conclusion on this part of the text, saying that faith allows us to see something that we could not see. Faith allowed the blind man to be able to see Jesus Christ, to focus on him. My focus on him. He would go further down, and many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." Then I came up the second point for the sermon, which is true faith will persist, will persevere. True faith will show in persistence, calling out to Jesus, even though the crowd trying to silence him. So far, so good, right? If I preach a sermon with these points, you probably think, this is a good sermon. Again, my faith, my effort, persistence, persevere. But at the back of my mind, there was little voice. There was a little doubt there. What if I cannot? What if the people that I preach to, some of them, they say, "Pastor, it is beautiful, but I cannot persist. I couldn't even focus on Jesus." Further down, following the same mentality, verse 50, "And throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus, and Jesus said to him, 'What do you want me to do for you?' And the blind man said to him, 'Rabbi, let me recover my sight.' And Jesus said to him, 'Go your way, your faith has made you well.' And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way." True faith will result in following Jesus. If you check against your theology, it seems everything check out. True faith will focus on Jesus. True faith will persevere. True faith will cause us to follow Jesus. Let me tell you my struggle when I came up with that outline. I can count more than one time I failed on all three accounts. I could be in time that I confused. I could not focus on Jesus. I focus on my weakness. I focus on my brokenness. I focus on my pain. And more than one time, I could not persevere. I wanted to throw up my hands and walk away. And I don't have the ability. I don't have the willingness. I don't have the energy to follow Jesus on his way. That usually will be the way that you and I read the text. But this morning is my personal confession, and it's also a teaching that I receive when I think deeper on this text. Mark here, putting this text here as a bracket of a chunk of material beginning in chapter 8, by starting Jesus healing a blind man in two steps. And here it ends this chunk of material here by focus on one of the two blind men that Jesus healed. Bracketing in between from chapter 8 to here, as you follow in the past weeks that we're helping you to get the big picture. Mark is telling his reader, now in the beginning part, chapter 1 to 8, who is Jesus? It climaxes in Peter's confession, "You are Christ, you are the Lord." But that first healing, two stage of healing of the blind man, is Jesus telling them. Mark is using that incident also to remind his readers. Sometimes we may see Jesus as Christ, but we don't see him very clearly. We have the right confession, but our action, our whole being, may be a couple of steps behind. We need him to touch us again so that we will receive a clear vision of who Jesus is in terms of when we confess that he is Christ. So this chunk of material from chapter 8 to now here, to chapter 10, is telling us what does it really mean when we say Jesus is Christ, Jesus is my Lord. And it cannot be separated from the cross. It cannot be separated from the journey that we bear the cross with Christ on his way, walking with him together. It is not a way, a path of everything going to be smooth. My business will be successful. My job will be continuously, every year will gain promotion. And all my interpersonal relationship will be all well. And my marriage will suddenly be completed and perfect. You may still walking in your brokenness. But Jesus had given you a new life. And he will sustain you through the way. And he invites you to join him to be self-sacrificial in order to serve others. And now it brackets the end bookmark of this chunk of material with this healing of the blind man. So in other words, Mark is telling us and continuously help us to clear your eyesight, to sort of wipe clean your eyeglasses so that you will have a 20/20 focus on who are you following. It is related to the bean's number in the jar in that professor's lecture. Faith is not about how you feel. It is not about what my preference is or my belief in my sincerity, intention, however good, noble that is. Faith is completely depend upon the object of our belief, Jesus Christ. It's all about him. So this part of the text today that we read, the focus is not on Bartimaeus' faith, it's on Jesus' response to Bartimaeus' cry out. We have to completely reroute our reading, our perspective on this passage in order to understand this is crucial to your and my walk with Christ. Because more than one time, if you're honest, you know that I am weak, you are weak. We are morally weak. We are spiritually weak. If you are pursuing Christ, you're pursuing growth spiritually. You want to be a spiritual person. Sometimes we fall into a mistake that is so subtle that we thought being a spiritual person has a lot to do with my daily devotion. How much Bible do I read? How much I pray? But true spirituality is not about yourself. True spirituality is about who do you know Christ is? True spirituality is actually about how broken you are that you recognize and how perfect Jesus is and how merciful he is upon your brokenness. And therefore, your dependency upon Jesus will grow daily. That is true spirituality. If your spirituality is the earlier definition, you walk down the path that you will be a self-made Christian. Your pride will increase. You will look down to people that are not spiritual, that they are weak, that they are not reading the Bible, that they are not serving. You will look down to them. You will despise them. But if your spirituality is a biblical one, is the right one, then you understand your own brokenness. And you'll be amazed with Christ's mercifulness upon your brokenness. And you will depend upon Him. And your outlook and your perspective to people that are weak, that are struggling, will be totally different. Let's read this text again with another pair of lens to look at it. And that pair of lens is to focus on the mercifulness of Jesus Christ. And they came to Jericho. And as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Up to this point, you will see that this poor beggar, being blind, he totally had nothing to hold on. And the peculiar thing that Mark mentioned is his name. We know that in the Bible, there's a lot of people that they're waiting for Jesus' mercy. And a lot of people that cry out, they've never mentioned the names. But why did Mark spend the time and particularly mention his name? Because the name has a meaning. And that is why there's a difference between here and Matthew chapter 20. Bartimaeus is combining is a word combination. That means son of Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus. Bar means son. It's a Hebrew term. Timaeus means honor. Son of honor, being blind, sitting on the side of the road, begging for people's pity in order to gain a few coins to survive the day. Son of honor, become a beggar, a blind beggar. He was sitting by the roadside and he cried out. This son of honor cried out to Jesus saying that, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." It actually is not about his faith being seeing Jesus. It's actually about he knows his brokenness. He knows his deep needs. And he's seeking for mercy. But keep in mind, where is Jesus heading toward at that juncture, at that very moment? He was leading the way with the disciple that some of them are half-hearted. Some of them were timid. Because he already, that was the third time, a couple verses before, he predicted what is going to happen to him in Jerusalem. He was heading toward Jerusalem to be killed and murdered and mocked and humiliated. Jesus knew his vision. Jesus knew his mission. Jesus knew what he was doing, and he was heading toward that. Now, I want to invite you to put yourself in Jesus' shoes a little bit. At that very moment, you know your mission. You know that mission is not easy. And then you are leading the way and go there. And that is your whole being, your whole person will wire up just for that mission. That is your purpose. That is the single purpose in your life. And then you're heading toward that. And on your way, there was some commotion. What would you do? I know what I would do. I would just ignore it. I just call. I have a bigger vision. I have a big picture. I have a vision. I would go that way. But look at Jesus. When many rebuked him, telling him to be silent, but he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped and said, call him. Jesus not only hear his call cry out from his brokenness, he stops for him. Jesus did not treat Bartimaeus as an interruption of his mission. Bartimaeus is his mission. He stopped for him. He cared for him. Do you believe that Jesus will stop for you? Do you believe that Jesus will stop for your brokenness? Do you believe that Jesus will not see you as an interruption? Dear brothers and sisters, there's tremendous good news here. No matter how broken you are, no matter how weak you are, the moment that you cry out, Jesus will stop on his tracks and pay attention to you. He will not treat you as an interruption, but he will extend himself toward you. The focus is really on Jesus, the one that we have our faith in. Not only Jesus will stop on his tracks just for you, for your own brokenness. You see in verse 50, and throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus, and Jesus said to him, what do you want me to do for you? This is the same question that he asked to John and James a couple verses earlier in the same chapter, actually in verse 36. It was the same question, exactly the same question. And Mark here, very skillfully, contrasting two kinds of people. John and James, they were taking advantage of Jesus' most vulnerable moment when he made the third prediction of what's going to happen to him in Jerusalem. His suffering, his walking toward being mistreated, abused, and murdered eventually. And these two brothers took advantage of that moment for their own gain. When you come in your glory, when you have your glory, make us one on your right side and one on your left side. When they asked Jesus, Jesus asked them, what do you want me to do for you? Here, the same thing, same question that Jesus asked Bartimaeus, what do you want me to do for you? It is not Bartimaeus' faith. It's much more superior than James and John. Because you know that later on in church history, also in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, you know that James and John, their life being transformed. Last week, we end our sermon in one profound good news. However selfish, self-serving, manipulative these two brothers were, Jesus did not dismiss them. He continued to love them to a degree that we see their life being totally transformed. Bartimaeus received his eyesight. He gave up his cloak that is his only belonging. Jesus said, go your way, your faith has made you well. And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way. Mark has another literal device put in there very skillfully, on the way. That is a pun that he used, Because early time in the early church, when people follow Jesus, the saying is, they follow the way. And in this story, these two blind beggars, they were on the side of the way. And Jesus was on his way. And Jesus stopped for them. And Jesus called and allowed them to receive eyesight. And immediately, they followed Jesus on the way. Jesus' healing reached out to them. Jesus stopped in his track for them. Jesus has mercy upon them. And Jesus invited them to join me on the way. My dear brothers and sisters, what is the notion about faith? I want to challenge you today to take a deep look in your faith. Is it about you? Is it about your sincerity? Is it about your good intention? And I propose to you, according to this text, it's nothing about those. Because those things will fail you. Those things you know that is not enough. It is all about Jesus. That he is the more merciful Lord of Lords and King of Kings. He will hear your cry, even your so broken, so pitiful cry. He'll hear that. And he will stop on his track just for you. He will not treat you as an interruption. He will heal you, and he will take you along on his way into his glory. All I have is Christ. That's the song that we just sang. And we will sing it as a response song. Let's bow and pray. Dear brothers and sisters, is Christ all you have? This morning, I invite you to weed out those self-made notions about faith. To weed out all these self-centeredness that's so subtle that built in into our system, that even when we talk about faith, we actually were talking about my intention, my preference. But the Bible teaches otherwise. It's all about Jesus and what he had done for you when you couldn't even lift up a finger. And he took upon the wrath of God supposed to be poured out on your life for all the sin, all the wrongdoings, all the dark thoughts that you have committed. He took upon all himself. And he gave his righteousness freely to you. He will stop on his tracks just for you. He will not treat you as an interruption because you are his mission. He will love you to the end. And he invites you to follow him on the way. Lord Jesus, this morning, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your mercifulness. We pray that you will give us the genuine, true biblical faith so that we will no longer depend upon ourselves but totally depend upon you. May this church be a church that will depend upon you, whether in good time or in bad time. Fix our gaze upon you. All I have is Christ. In your name we pray.